So we're reading from 1 John, chapter 3, reading from verse 1, and it's found on 1159 of your green Bibles. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And this is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. All who have this hope in him purify themselves just as he is pure. Continuing from verse 7. Dear children, do not let anyone lead you astray. The one who does what is right is righteous, just as he is righteous. The one who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appears was to destroy the devil's work. Those who are born of God will not continue to sin. Because God's seed remains in them, they cannot go on sinning, because they have been born of God. This is how we know who the children of God are, and who the children of the devil are. Those who do not do what is right are not God's children, nor are those who do not love their brothers and sisters.
Thank you. Thank you, Sue. Great. So, we'll carry on thinking about this issue, this question that we've got. Where are we? Okay. So, yeah, fingerprints tell us a little bit about who we are, don't they? They're unique to us. So, who am I? That's the question. And we're trying to get the answer to that question today. And at the bottom of these cards, it says, I am a dot, dot, dot. So we're going to have to fill that in later on. Did anyone see the story about this man in the news this week? Did anyone see that story? I saw it across BBC News, I saw it on the Daily Mail website, I saw it a few times on the internet. Jordan Adlard Rogers. Now, Jordan, he thought he was a labourer. Well, there are different reports. Some called him a care worker and some called him a labourer. Does no one know this story? You know it, Mark, you know it. All right, Mark, tell us, what was the truth about Jordan Adlard Rogers? His father was a lord, yeah, that's right.
So he's inherited an estate.
So he's inherited a vast estate. He thought he was a labourer, a care worker, just a very ordinary guy. I think actually he had some financial troubles, it said in the articles. But in fact, he's the son of a millionaire landowner. And that really, really kind of took him by surprise when he discovered that. And he's inherited a vast estate, as Mark said, in Cornwall. £50 million, great big sort of, well, I don't want to say a pile, but it's a great big place down in Cornwall. And so that's been pretty exciting for him to find that out. Now, what about us? Well, you might think that you are just a dot, dot, dot. You might think you're a schoolgirl, or you might think that you're a mother or a grandmother. You might think you are a worker in a job. You might think you're middle-aged. You might think you're middle class. You might think you're, I don't know, rich or poor, middle income. You might think you're just a whatever. But this morning, we're going to make a discovery, and the discovery is you're a child of God. We're going to discover that today, that we are children of God, as we heard in our reading in verses 1 and 2. You might still have it open. I think it was page 1159, and it might be helpful to have it open still. We might think we're just, but actually, the Bible tells us we're more than just British citizen, in a family, with a school report, tells us something we might never find out otherwise, that we are children of God. Wow, wow. Now, how did that happen? Well, most of us know, don't we, about how children are born. And with Jordan, it happened the usual way. It happened the usual way. Very natural thing happened, biological process, you know. And basically, a rich man planted something of his life. And although that relationship with Jordan's mother didn't continue, and that's one of the sadnesses, we'll look at that a bit later on in our service. But it's very, you know, a natural thing happened. If you want to know more about that, ask when you get home. But that's how Jordan's life began. But with us, how we become children of God, well, another rich man, the richest man of all, the Lord God, he plants something of his life within us. And our Bible reading talked of how we can be born of God, that the children of God are born of God, and that God's seed remains in us, the thing that brings us life. We might think, well, okay, the first one was a natural process. This is a supernatural, spiritual process, something that happens deep within our lives by God's Spirit. We might think, well, how does that really take place? Well, this is how God plants something of his life in us that causes us to be children of God. He does it through the word about Jesus, what we call the gospel. As we hear the good news message about Jesus, and it rings into our ears and sinks into our hearts, God's planting something of his life within us. You know, there's nothing, I don't know, bland or ineffectual about hearing the message of Jesus, something very life-giving and full of potential, full of life is going on. Whenever we hear the message about Jesus, there's a powerful thing going on. So that's how God does it. Now we're going to think about this striking resemblance between Jordan and his father. I think his name was Charles, although I've just forgotten, actually. I think his name was Charles. And the newspapers said, look, there's a striking resemblance between Jordan and his biological father. Even though he didn't really know him. Striking resemblance. They looked like one another. And the reason they looked like one another is that they shared the same DNA, didn't they? They shared the same biology, the genetic code, if you like. They shared that. It was in the blood. No wonder they looked like one another in that sense. And in our Bible reading, John's trying to tell us that there's going to be a striking resemblance between the Father who birthed us as his children and us. So God the Father and his people, his children, there'll be a striking resemblance. And that's because we share the very same spiritual DNA. There's nothing biological going on. That's not how it happens. It's a spiritual thing. It's almost like this is the gospel message of Jesus is the very DNA of God. It's what God's own life beats along to, his own bloodstream, if you like. And he shared that his very own DNA with us. As we receive his word, his spirit comes within us and creates the same spiritual DNA that he has. That's an amazing truth, that there's that close resemblance between us and God. We're talking about character, not the way we look. So, you know, we're all going to look very different, aren't we, in how we look. But actually, this is talking about our character, the things that the way we are, And John says in verse 9, if you want to look down at that, I think it's 9 and 10, that it's about doing what's right rather than doing what's wrong. So God's children are going to look like him in that they want to do what's right, not what's wrong. And that they'll love their brothers and sisters. They'll love one another because God the Father, he loves his children. And we'll also love his children too if we're part of the same family because we share that DNA, that spiritual DNA. And I just want to say this morning, can you see that resemblance? You know, as you just think about yourself and your own life, the way that you are, do you see that you share some of those traits? Do you see that resemblance in you? It's worth asking whether we've got those traits, that resemblance in our lives. Now, sometimes you hear Christians say, when they sin and they go wrong, they go, I just can't help it. I just can't help it. I just keep doing the wrong thing. And they feel frustrated with themselves. Maybe that's something you've said before. But let's just remember that actually we share, if we're God's children, we share the same spiritual DNA as God the Father. This is what John's telling us. He shared his life with us. It's within us. And I think, actually, do you know what we ought to say? We ought to say, I just can't help it. I can't help doing the right thing because God's life is within me. He's told me I'm his child. He shared his truth about Jesus with me. He's told me who I really am, and he's shown me what my life can be with him. And my heart is starting to beat in tune with his heart, and I love doing the same things he does, and I love doing what's right. And I really care about my Christian family, my brothers and sisters. I just can't help it. I mean, it's an interesting reversal, isn't it, of how we feel. Sometimes we feel we're just in this rut where we're going to keep doing the wrong thing, but actually, God says, actually, we can get into a rut where we're doing the right thing, and we're truly loving one another because we're his children and we share that resemblance. And the good news is, well, let's start somewhere else. We all know that when children grow up, they, even from birth, people say, oh, doesn't he look like his mother? Doesn't she look like her dad? They say that, don't they? And then the resemblance usually grows stronger and stronger through childhood and into adulthood. And you just, yeah, he's the spitting image of his dad. He's a chip off the old block, we say, don't we? Because that likeness just gets stronger often as we grow up. And it's the same with as children of God. That resemblance, that likeness should grow stronger. That rut, if you like, we're in it. That we get more and more like him. Doing the right thing, not the wrong thing. Loving to please him. Loving one another. Oh, my slide's gone slightly. But what's going to be the outcome of this growing more and more like him? We don't really know, do we? John says we don't really know because we haven't seen the fullness of this process yet. We haven't reached the complete maturity, the end point. What we will be has not yet been made known. But do you know what? The Bible does tell us what the end will be. We don't know because we haven't seen it yet, but we do know what the end will be. We know that when Christ appears, oh my goodness, we shall be like him. That's where this is heading. We shall be like him. Have you ever thought of that? And I think this is a really wonderful thought to end on before we come to a song. Just think what you will be if you're a child of God. If his life is in you through the gospel message and the Holy Spirit bringing that to life in you. Oh my goodness. You're going to keep walking in that path, in that rut, for want of a better word. Loving what's right, loving other followers of Jesus, showing all the sort of fruits of the Holy Spirit. Until one day when Jesus appears, you are going to be like him. And actually, as I was thinking about planning this, I was thinking, that should make us like weep for joy, don't you think? That we'll be like Jesus one day. Lowly little us, we're going to be like Jesus. And all those frustrations of the things that we do, you know, do come up in life, don't they, from time to time, will be gone and we'll be really like the Son of God. There's a great verse, I'll finish with this. This is God's plan, that Jesus might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And he already calls us brothers and sisters, but he says, that job's going to be complete. One day you're just going to look like me. Again, not in looks, but in character. I think that's a great thought for us to just pause on. Do please have your seats again. Now I am your son, I'm adopted in your family, and I can never be alone, because Father God, you're there beside me. It reminds us, doesn't that really leads us into this thought about the importance of relationship, the real importance of relationship, this special thing. Now, this man, Jordan, said something really remarkable, I thought, really remarkable in the article. He said, people say I'm lucky because of all the money he's inherited and all this great big house, but I would trade anything to be able to go back and for Charles to know I was his son. And I thought, oh my goodness, what a powerful thing to say. He'd rather just remain a labourer or whatever he was, a care worker, rather not have inherited anything if only he could have known his true father, his biological father. I thought that was a powerful thing to say. And it just reminds us, doesn't it, that those relationships are much more precious than anything else at all, more precious than anything else. And that's the truth, isn't it, for us as if we're children of God, that, you know, the Bible says we're going to inherit the whole earth one day, but actually, it's not as precious. The things we're going to get, you know, the things we're going to get are not as precious as having a living relationship with the Lord Jesus and with our Father in heaven, and to know him. Here, we ought to just stop, shouldn't we, and ask a question, though. Do you have that relationship with God? It's a question that's very important we ask ourselves during life, during our lifetime. Do we have that relationship with God? And some people will say, I'm not sure. I'm not sure. They might have been around church a long time. They might have been to school assemblies and sung songs. They might have been to weddings. They might be able to say the Lord's Prayer. But they're still not sure. They could only put maybe as an answer. Well, how can we be more sure? The Bible says we can be sure. We can be sure. And the way to be sure isn't to try and love what's good, or to try and do what's good, or to try to love other Christians. Do you know that the real way to have that relationship with God is to let him plant his life in us, which will grow. It will grow. And the way we let him plant his life in us is to hold on to and believe that message about Jesus as it comes to us. It's to make a decision, if you like, that, yeah, this is true what I'm hearing. This Bible message is the truth. And I'm going to believe it and let it shape my whole life. So if you want to be sure today that you have that relationship with God, that you're his child, and that he's your true father, then he'll plant that life within you today, this morning, if you're prepared to just say, yes, Jesus really is the way, the truth, and the life, and I accept him. I'm going to follow him. I'm going to understand my whole life through what he says about me and about the world. So be sure. Amen. So we've come really to the end of our investigation into who we are and thinking about what our identity is. We've thought about how these things do tell us something. They do tell us something. But actually, God's word tells us who we really and truly are. And you know, these things could change, couldn't they, as time passes and we leave school and it's no longer about school reports, or who knows, might have our passport taken off us or something like that. We might things do change in life. But the wonderful truth is, this identity never changes. Once we're a child of God, we'll always be a child of God. People may say all kinds of things about us. They may not always be very kind things. They may make us feel really low. They may make us feel miserable. They may say, you're rubbish. You're stupid. You shouldn't follow Jesus. You're worthless. Whatever. We may feel that we are rubbish, that we're not very good at something, that we're, I don't know, we may just feel bad about ourselves. But this is the truth to take home this morning. The truth is, I am a child of God. All right? So that's the truth. And I think we'll just get the children up. If you want to just finish off your ID cards, because there's something to complete here. It says, I am a dot, dot, dot. I think you know the answer by now. And then there's a symbol, which I've forgotten to give you. There's a symbol for that, that you need to just stick on at the bottom. Okay? So if you want to take one of those,